The following message is an Antioch Bible Church presentation.
Chapter 7, the book of John. Ladies and gentlemen, we are going to try our best to get through with chapter 7 today as I go back and forth because we are an expository church. And I'm going to see if we can get everything lined up to get through 7 because next week is Vision Sunday, 11 o'clock here inside, and then the picnic. And then we want to look at chapter 8 in September 2nd. It's my plan. Now, if we don't get through 7, September 2nd, we'll do the rest of 7. And September 9th, we'll follow up with chapter 8. Now, how many of you have ever heard this question from someone else? Who gives you the right to judge me? How many of you have ever been asked, why do you think you have the right to judge me? And you don't have an answer. How many of you have ever heard, well, who do you think you are? And even if you just call what they're doing sin, they throw out what? What is their response? You're not loving and you're judging me. We're going to totally 100% eliminate that quote, that statement. And you're going to know exactly what you need to say if anyone ever says that to you after we get to chapter 8 of the book of John. Is that something that is needed?
Yes, sir.
In our society today.
Amen.
Continue to pray for my friend, Tony Perkins. If it was anything else, it went all over the news like crazy. But a gunman walked in the Family Research Council last week with a gun and 10 Chick-fil-A sandwiches. 10 Chick-fil-A sandwiches and a gun. And the security guard, who did not have a gun, was shot and wrestled the man down to the ground. And when the police got there and questioned him, it was because of their stand for traditional marriage. Now, if we're going to stand for traditional marriage, we better do something about it.
Amen.
We need to do something about it.
Amen.
Now, let's forget about same-sex marriage. Forget it. Drop it. The problem isn't same-sex marriage. The problem the church having is Christians staying together after they get married.
There you go. Amen, brother. Mm-hmm.
So I'd like to call all the Eastside pastors together, be praying about what we need to do about traditional marriage and holding people accountable. Almost 90% of all the church discipline we've had in 28 years has been over marriage. I can't hear you. It has something to do with marriage and divorce. Most of the people that have left this church has left this church over divorce and remarriage. We got too many churches that will open their arms and let them in. So be praying, because that happened in D.C., and you know where your pastor stands. I hate to have to start bringing one of my dogs to work, but it may be, we just may have to do that. We need to continue to pray for those in Montana. They're losing livelihood because of the weather. Dakotas, Texas, Missouri, No rain. And as a church, as you go home today, as you're getting around the obstacles to get back to your cars, remember, one county has had over 43 fires. They're losing their farms that they've had for hundreds of years. They're losing their businesses. It is a sad commentary, but this is the day that the Lord has made. Whatever he does is good, and it is good for us. Amen?
Amen.
That was on my heart. I wanted to give that to you. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for moving your servant out of the way. Thank you for the blessing of opening your word. May we never be the same because we will open your word. And God, after looking at chapter 7 of the book of John, you can understand why we can be misunderstood. We praise you now in your son's most holy, precious, and glorious name. We all say, is Jesus the perfect example of wholeness? Is Jesus a perfect example of how to love?
Yes, sir.
Is Jesus the perfect example of how to keep a commitment?
Yes, sir.
If Jesus is the perfect example, then is there any better example to follow than what Jesus has given us? So we're going to go through chapter 7, looking at the one who is the perfect example of wholeness, the perfect example of love, and the perfect example of how to do things. Perfect example. And no one was more misunderstood and rejected than Jesus. Do we agree and understand that?
Yes, sir.
Amen. So let's look at how he does it and see if we should do the same thing, understanding that we will be misunderstood, rejected, and not believed. You see, Jesus has no problem saving the world. Is getting his church to do it his way. If the church would just do it Jesus' way. We come to the first part of chapter 7. We got into it a little bit last week. And we find out that Jesus was rejected by the crowd. That was tough. Jesus was misunderstood by what he did. And after he healed the paralytic man on the Sabbath, Jesus could no longer walk openly in Judea. And that's where we come to chapter 7, after these things. After what things? After the miracle that he did on the Sabbath of the man that was sick for how many years? 38 years, wasn't it? And we find that he was rejected by the leadership, the Pharisees and the Sadducees of his day. That hurt. He was rejected by the crowd. That hurt. And then we saw that he was rejected by his disciples. That hurt. And then we came to the conclusion in the first part of chapter 7, he was rejected by his family, his brothers. We know of that his brothers rejected him. We don't know about his sister. We believe that Jesus had a sister because of the wedding in Cana and how much his mother was involved and how much Jesus was involved in that wedding. But we know his brothers reject it. How would you feel if your disciples rejected you and then your family rejected you? But we're talking about the greatest example of wholeness. Being rejected by the people. We're talking about the perfect example of how to love someone. Being rejected by his disciples. And the perfect example of how to do things is rejected by his family. Do you see where we're going now? Can you understand what's happening? Can you understand why the world will never love us? Yes, sir. And why we spend so much time trying to get the world to love us? It's not going to work. So, I'd rather be loved by Jesus, understood by Jesus, and walk in Jesus. Chapter 7. After these things, after what things? The miracles, especially the one where he healed the paralytic on the Sabbath. After these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, for he would not walk in Judea because the Jews sought to kill him. Now, it's one thing to be rejected and disliked, even by family. But it's another thing to be rejected and hated so much, they want to kill you. I had one young man tell me in a note, you know what? The best thing for us is if you were dead. But if we kill you, we're going to make a martyr out of you. So we're going to leave you alone for a while. There are some things we can relate to with Christ. And there are some things we would never be able to relate to because we will quit long before we get to the pressure that the Messiah went through. That's why he only allows us to go as far as we can be tempted, and he stops it. Can I get an amen from somebody? God, a loving Savior. So when people quit, it's because they want to quit, not because they can't handle it anymore. Now, how do we know that there was confusion about people wanting to kill Jesus? Verse 1 says, Jesus said they want to kill him. Look at verse 20. John 7, the people answered and said unto him, boy, you're full of a demon, because no one wants to kill you. Who wants to kill you? Think there's a little confusion going on? I don't want to walk in Judea. They want to kill me. The people at the temple says, you're crazy. You got a demon. Nobody wants to kill you. Look at verse 25. Then said some of them of Jerusalem, is not this he whom they seek to kill? Wait a minute. Have we got some confusion going on? Now, if there's confusion going on, there's always someone going to be on both sides. You guys don't understand what I'm saying today, do you? I know it's going right over your head. If there is confusion, there will always be two sides. Because if there is no confusion, you're unified. Now, you may be unified wrong. You may be together on the wrong issue. But it's amazing what unity will accomplish even when it's wrong. You know why I know that? Genesis chapter 9 and 10. God came down, saw the unity of man going the wrong way, and says, I'm going to give them different languages, because as long as they're unified, there's nothing they can't do, even with sin. Can it be possible for us as a church to be unified so that we can do things greater than the world can ever believe? Only thing we need to do is just see how God did it and not worry about being misunderstood. Woo! Verse 2. Now the Jews' feast of the tabernacle was at hand. You got to understand this to understand the rest of chapter 7. If you don't understand the whole aspect of the tabernacle, the feast of the tabernacle, you have missed the rest of the book of John. Chapter 7 to chapter 21 of the book of John is 6 months, the last 6 months of Jesus' life. Can't hear you.
Amen.
Chapter 7 of chapter 21 is the last 6 months of Christ's earthly ministry. Things have gotten hot in the last 2.5 years. Remember what we said, chapters 1 through chapter 13, end of 12, really, happens in 3 years. 13 through 18 happened in one night. Chapter 7 through 21 happened in 6 months. Are we all on the timeline now? The Feast of Tabernacles. This was a feast to celebrate the 40 years of wandering and coming out of the desert. It was on the 15th day of the 7th month of the Jewish calendar. The 15th day of the 7th month of the Jewish calendar is our October 15th. It's not Oktoberfest. You guys know what goes on Oktoberfest. Germans take over. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
On October, don't drive through, what's that little town up there on this side of Wenatchee? Yeah. Leavenworth. You may not get out of there. Too much beer is flowing. But we're talking about the Feast of the Tabernacle. Now, there's something that you had to do on the Feast of Tabernacle. You know what you had to do on the Feast of Tabernacle if you was Jewish? Regardless where you were. And I was reading last night, which I usually pick up a commentary the night before I preach. It's the last thing I look at to see how good the Holy Spirit has taught me before I try to see what man can teach me. You know, they call it Palestine. It says all the Jews of Palestine will have to come to Jerusalem. Does anybody in here know there's no such thing as Palestine? Can't hear you. That's added. That is not the land of the Palestinians. It's the land of the Jews. And they haven't got all the land yet. When Christ comes back, they're going to get all the land that God has promised them that he refused to do, refused to obey, and refused to go conquer the people. We cannot do the same. Okay? Are we reading together? Good night. Man, we're running out of time. Who cares? Let's go. Verse 3. His brethren therefore said unto him, depart from here and go into Judea, that thy disciples also may see the works that thou dost. Do you know that's a mockery? Now, why is it a mockery? And then, why is it that he tells his brothers, it's time for you to go? It's not time for me to go. And then his brothers goes, and then he follows them later. You see, the Feast of Tabernacle had one prerequisite. Every male Jewish man had to attend. That was one of the deals with the tabernacle, Feast of Tabernacle. Every Jewish male had to attend. And he had to bring his family if he can, but he had to attend. And they would come to Jerusalem and they would build temporary huts out of branches for their family. And they would stay in those huts of branches for 8 days for the feast. It represented coming out of the desert after wandering for 40 years. I don't know why they got, I don't know how they got 7 days and then the 8th day they would celebrate out of 40 years of wandering. That must be from Math Made Easy. Seven days and then the 8th day, this big celebration. Ooh, and then you're going to understand that the 8th day was to go to the pool of Siloam and they would celebrate the water that God had brought to them while they was in the desert. And it was a remembrance of life-giving water in the desert. And that's why Jesus stands up on the 8th day of the feast and he says, I am the living water. Do you understand how mad the Jews would be? Wow. Am I telling you stuff you don't know? Is it beginning to sink in a little bit about if you're going to make decisions based on the Word of God, you ought to know the Word of God?
Yeah. Amen.
You know, that'll help a lot. Boy, we're going to have some music here in a minute. Is everyone saying amen to that?
Amen.
So his brother says, we know you got to go because that's one of the things you have to do as a male in the Jewish faith. And you are Jewish, right, brother? And there's nobody who wants to be known. Just sits around these little towns up here in Galilee. If you really want to be known, bro, you got to go to Jerusalem. And this is a great time to go to Jerusalem because everybody's going to be there. Verse 5. For neither did his brothers believe in him. Jesus said, my time's not yet. Now, people thought that Jesus lied on this. Let's deal with that. Brother says, you know you got to go. It's the Feast of the Tabernacles. Jesus says, no, I'm not going. It's not my time yet. And then when his brother goes, he sneaks down. You know, a real spiritual guy, a real spiritual Christian would have said, I don't think you can follow him. He lied. Okay, you're looking at me with like a deer in headlights. Let me ask you a question. Honestly, straightforward, just between you and I. If you found out that I just flat out lied about something, or I made a promise and broke it, how many of you would want to follow me as your pastor? Now, I'm not talking about 2 lies, 3 lies, 4 lies, or 5 lies. I'm talking about 1 lie. Now, I'm not talking about your concept of the lie. I'm talking about I literally lied. A lot of hands in here want to say, oh, that's okay, pastor. Because, you know, there's some churches that have a pastor commit adultery and let him stay in the pulpit. I can't hear you. I got some sisters up here saying amen. Come on, girls. Shout it out. We've had pastors in some churches that has embezzled money, stole it for their own personal use. Church finds out about it and said, nobody's perfect. We all sin. And one sin is no greater than another. But at Antioch, have we raised the bar a little bit? And would you follow me if I embezzled? It's counting how much I took, right? Oh, it's nothing to embezzle. Now, that's true, too, right there. That could keep you straight, boy. What if I just walked out on my family? Just walked out. Just say, you know what? I'm tired. They drain me. I just don't love her anymore. We got irreconcilable differences, which is still letting me be in the pulpit next Sunday. Come on now. One sin is no greater than the other. I guess we're not going to finish chapter 7, eh? Because, man, it's amazing. Everything Jesus did, everything he showed love in, everything he explained, everything he talked about, there was always something and someone who could find out there's something wrong with it. Wow. Guys, we need some music. Can I get an amen on that music?
Amen.
What's the lesson today? I'm going to tell you what the lesson is today. Get this and understand this. The greatest example of love is usually the greatest thing that's misunderstood. The greatest example of love that has ever been told and ever lived made people so upset that they killed him. Jesus is our example. And life does not belong to us. Ministry does not belong to us. The way I want to do things does not belong to us. It's all about Christ. And I made one mistake in my life when I started and first became a Christian. I said, Jesus is my new coach. The Bible is my new playbook. And if I'm going to start on the first team with my new coach, I better know his playbook. And I spent the first 5 years of my Christian life spending 6 to 8 hours a day studying God's playbook. And in that, I came to some great conclusions about how God wants his bride to be. You should do the same. And then let's go change the world. Doctor,
sir,
are you behind me? I'm not talking about sitting behind me.
I'm right next to you.
Oh, right. That's what I'm talking about.
We're locked in.
Locked in. We love you guys. We love this church. Thank you for you. You're an amazing congregation.
This has been a presentation of Antioch Bible Church. For more information about Antioch Bible Church or to order additional resources, please call 425-556-5905 or go to www.abchurch.org.